Are you tired of selling kidney for a laptop? Do you need to take notes in your family WhatsApp group without your boss thinking you're not working? Tired of explaining something when you could just draw it and share it? How about that back end? Is it heavy laptop related? Let the Mesa Fundi come to your rescue. Hashtag freedom with Fundi. Attach Microsoft Office for the ultimate experience. Make the shift and upgrade to the Mesa Fundi with Windows 10 Professional. The Mesa Fundi, flexibility reimagined. Available online and in store at all leading retailers. Mesa recommends Windows 10 Professional.
What's going on? I can't travel to Durban and I really need to see the team. Our telephone bill is through the roof, our server crashed and we've lost all our files.
Are you getting frustrated with problems in your business? Win at work and calm the chaos with Vox's intelligent business solutions. Work smarter, not harder, and connect your business to the world from 899 Rand. T's and C's apply. Visit vox.co.za for more information.
I'm Duncan MacLeod and this is Tech Central. I'm joined now by Alan Rebich, one of the founders of Sweep South, the on-demand home cleaning company, which last year attracted a big investment from Naspers through its Naspers Foundry Startup Fund. Alan, welcome to the podcast. How long has Sweep South been going for now?
Thanks, Duncan. Thanks for having me on your show. Sweep South has been going now for about 6 years. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're a husband and wife team, started with Aisha Pandor, and it really came out of the personal needs basis. Yeah. So that was, my background is computer science. Aisha's was prior to that was a bit of business consulting and human genetics, which is obviously quite far removed from what we were tackling here, but brought in a lot of expertise of seeing things through to the end, etc. A lot of those kind of expertise that were very helpful for getting us to where we are today.
We were just discussing before we started recording that, I was trying to figure out how to pronounce your surname correctly, but you mentioned that you are an import to South Africa. When did you come here and why?
Yeah, so I came to South Africa in 1993, actually. So just before, the South African democracy came into the picture. So I came from a country that at that time was called Yugoslavia. They got broken up into more pieces, into Croatia, Serbia, Bosnia and that. So there was a civil war there, and my parents had some close friends that immigrated to South Africa just around that time. And due to obviously the commotion at the time, it was a matter of like, where are we going to go as quickly as possible? And this was the destination. And my dad used to like to make a joke to say, well, I want to go as far as possible from where we are right now, because this is really, really bad. That was his joke. Yeah. But I think he picked a really good place. You couldn't have picked a better place.
Yeah. Great. Excellent. I actually know a lot of people who came to South Africa around that time from the former Yugoslavia, and quite a few of them work in the media industry in South Africa. Of course, the editor of the Daily Maverick, Branko Brikic,
I've met him. Great guy as well.
Yeah. Cool. So as you mentioned, you founded the business with Aisha Pandor, who is your wife. It's perhaps somewhat unusual in the startup space to have a husband and wife team running a startup business, not totally unheard of, but unusual. Does it change the dynamic at all compared to other startups?
Yeah. The key thing, Duncan, for us was that we had complementary skills with the real problem we were trying to solve. I think that's something great to start from. Complementary skills in that, I would, because I already trust this person, I would trust them with their expertise on what they do. And of course, if Aisha wants some input from me, that's fantastic and I provide it. But, the lack of that overlap is fantastic because I think it enables you in a true sort of tone to startups to move really quickly and trust that person to do their part. So in our context, it would have been, on the computer science stuff, at those early stages, I'd be building everything, from a engineering perspective. And Aisha would trust that, but she wasn't blind to it either. She would actually take the time to learn a programming language and understand it. And why so? So she could understand what efforts go into it and what's involved. And I would do the same thing, you know, vice versa on the business side and learn a bit more about, let's say, finance, where I would be, you know, not as strong, of course. So these kind of things landed up being where we actually as people became better at what we do, not only in our expertise, but in these other areas that affect, you know, startups in general.
Yes. Okay.
So that's a huge plus. And that's how we've sort of approached it. Yeah.
Okay. And it's worked, it's working, relatively well. How do you divorce work from pleasure?
So Duncan, the answer is I will tell you on paper what you do, and then I'll tell you we don't do it. And that's the difficulty. The book will tell you follow these steps, but the reality is it was very hard. I think that's probably one of the hardest things that we've had to learn along the way to practice, especially for the fact that we have now three kids. And when we started, we had one kid.
Right.
We had one child who was 4 years at the time, but now we have three. So you can imagine the rest are a lot younger. So we've had to learn how to sort of decouple the two to some degree. And I say to some degree, because it's almost impossible when you have passion. Mm-hmm. For something that you're building, right? That, you know, a business or a product and that. So what you do is, you know, what we've learned to do is just say, well, you know, when we may be doing dinner, let's sit together with the kids and do, you know, really focus on the dinner, the exercise maybe of the making the dinner, the exercise of, you know, actually sitting and enjoying that meal, you know? Mm-hmm. And then maybe when the kids go back to bed, I know what happens a lot of the time, we're back to how are we going to solve this problem? How are we going to expand into Kenya? How are we gonna, you know, those things come up. So it's a hard balance. You know, some people will claim that there isn't such a thing as balance in this case, but I'll say that they're on the spectrum. The line is somewhere, but it's not a very easy line smack in the middle, if you know what I mean.
I do. So let's talk about the lockdown, because I imagine that this has affected you guys, especially during levels 5 and 4, when we're not allowed to work. It must have been a bit of a rough ride. Take us through it.
Big time. So levels 5 and 4 were very intense. So I can say for the first time in the history of the company within the space of the 6 years, you look at the graph and you have tears in your eyes, because it's the first time when the business has had 1 minute of downtime, literally. And when I say downtime, I'm talking about product, you know, that the company is actually open doors and operating. This is the first time we had to actually, under lockdown, specifically closed doors. That was very hard. It was. But what did we do about that? I'll tell you right now, Duncan, is we took an approach of knowing that this is firstly a long-term journey for us. Mm-hmm. And then B, actually saying, well, what can you do during this time? And the obvious thing is that if you love this product you've been working on and solving a real problem between two sides of the market, you know, the obvious thing in our head was like, go ahead and improve that product more than you could during operational time. Because now you have, you know, at this count, we had like about 62 permanent staff members, you know, of which a good number could not be doing anything, you know. And I'd like to also say that we haven't had a need, luckily, to downsize staff or anything like that. So what we opted for is repositioning the team to help us on building out this product during this time, improving it. So the fantastic thing about this was that, and we timed it right, as we went into level 4, the doors opened up to some degree. So we can already have some kind of operation happening. And that would enable us to test the product changes that we put out to see how those are being affected. So by the time we got into level 3, you know, you could see, oh, level 3 is really seeing the benefits of these, changes. And some of these were quite fundamental, like, scaling up our outdoor services. So like your gardening and that kind of stuff, really spreading across the different cities, enabling it within our native app, etc. So that was a fantastic time to sort of dig our heads down, know that this is going to blow over. It's not going to be around forever. It's not to say it's going to come, you know, things are going to be the same, but you know, it gives a great opportunity to focus, because during, you know, I think times when everything is happening at the same time, the attention can be split over a number of things. And here, that ability to really have razor sharp focus is maybe the benefit, and that's what we harnessed during this time. Yeah,
clever. You took advantage of it. Now that we're at level three, is everything back to normal?
Yeah. So within the first week, we had 60% of our business back online, fully online. And that was within the first week. And the things are still trending very much in the direction they should be in terms of growth, which is good. So there is still the impact of economy and the fact that lockdown three does not mean no lockdown, right? And rightfully so. We're also supporters of understanding that it's not just go back to business as usual, you know? The key thing there, with level three for us, Duncan, is one of the key things is still trying to be responsible, you know, in terms of knowing that level three is not just some enforced thing for no good reason. There's a very good reason why it's in place. So we got to somehow play the right thing here by saying, you know, being responsible, but at the same time, seeing how we can continue to grow. So one of the key things that we did there was actually using technology and the app that the Sweepstars have, the cleaners have. We introduced a course that they would have to go through.
Okay.
And that would have to then obviously do a test to answer the right questions in terms of explaining how sanitization cleaning works and how cleaning should work under these circumstances of COVID-19. So that was a big factor. So all the cleaners at the moment on the platform are actually, trained in that and have done the course and have been tested. And therefore, it just enables them to be more, responsible in terms of how do they go into people's homes. And I think as things get more progressively relaxed, obviously it will have a greater impact and I think positive impact on business as well.
Yes. I was actually
But it's really positive to see the first weeks after the...
Yeah. Okay. I was actually going to ask what level of support you were able to provide to the cleaners during this period. I'm guessing not financial, but you must have been able to use the app to keep people informed about what's happening and getting ready for returning to work.
Yes. So Duncan, that's actually yes. There's actually two parts to this. We did exactly that in terms of within the app informing what they need to do, letting us know if they're contracted the virus or anything like that, and us assisting with that. But actually, we went a step further than that. We created the Sweep South Foundation.
Oh yes.
This time. And with that, actually set up to raise 12 million rand. And within the first 3 weeks, we actually raised 8 million of that 12 million.
Wow.
And we're now sitting on about 9.3 by my last count. And we have a final incoming investment, a contribution. It's not an investment. Okay. A contribution into the fund. To make the balance of the 12 million. So we're going to be fully, have it fully done. So far, we have actually paid out about the 9 million of that fund already to the Sweepstars.
Wow.
So what this means is that people who cannot go to work have actually managed to continue paying, for the basics, for the food, etc. So I think that's a big one.
That's pretty amazing. So where was the? How did you do this fundraise? And was it mainly from a few deep-pocketed individuals who supported it?
Yeah, great question. So one of those was actually one of our existing investors, international investor, who's Susan and Michael Dell Foundation. So that's obviously Michael Dell from Dell Computers.
Yes.
They were very intrigued. So they invested recently in Sweep South, with NASPAS that you mentioned, Duncan, earlier in the last round. And obviously it caught his attention and it was like, listen, we're already doing some, looking to help around the world with companies we've either invested in or are backing in general. And they put forward 6 million towards
wow.
it.
Wow.
And it's a sizable chunk. A few other names I can't mention, but they're also very, very big names in terms of South African you know, I think business profile people as well and that kind of stuff. But it's been a phenomenal support to help the Sweep Stars get through this time. I think it's fantastic.
That's great.
And as you've already mentioned, through this level three being relaxed, you know, Sweep Stars has been managing to go back to work more and more, which is fantastic. So, yeah.
Excellent news. So I didn't even realize that Michael Dell was an investor in Sweep South. So you've got some pretty heavy hitting investors behind you. I mean, Michael Dell, Nussbash. So it's pretty impressive.
That's pretty stuff. Great. Yeah, thank you.
Pretty impressive stuff. So a year ago, as I mentioned earlier, a year ago, you got a 30 million rand investment from Nussbash. What has that allowed you to do, and what's happened since that deal was announced?
Sure. So one of the key things we've managed to do with that is, you know, start with our expansion, international expansion. So in December, we launched Kenya and with our core product. And then beyond that, we obviously started doing our layout into looking at markets like Brazil. Mm-hmm. Then obviously COVID struck and we've, you know, had to revise that a bit in terms of what we do there. But what else we've done during that period as well was a big push on Sweep South Connect, which is our multi-service marketplace by which professionals can offer their services to consumers within the areas they wish to work in. Mm-hmm. So that's been a big push recently as well. And with actually under the light of COVID, it's actually seen fantastic demand too. And naturally, because I think our people are in some ways either stranded that they might not be able to go directly to consumers, so they can, you know, they can offer their service remotely. And if they can, let's say people like electricians or plumbers, they still need to go out, and they do. They certainly are looking to add more, good hot leads and consumers to their base. So those are some of the highlights. Mm. Maybe one more to mention is the outdoor services. We spoke about outdoor home services that's very closely married to our cleaning service. So it's basically gardeners, pool cleaner, etc.
Okay, fantastic. Well, let's delve a little bit more into Sweep South Connect. So it's any profession that can connect through the service, be it a plumber, electrician. Are these typically professional services that you'd use around the house?
Yeah, correct. And starting there, because our domain at the moment is very, very strong in the sort of a home space.
Okay.
So we're sticking to that. You know, we're sticking to what we know. We know people's homes, and that way we are offering services that very much lend towards that, expanding on. And this was also very much driven by the customer communication to us in general. Customers have been demanding these sort of services to say, well, you're already a trusted source into my home, you know, with home cleaning on a weekly basis. And that's great. But then why not extend that to the gardeners? Why not extend that to maybe less frequent services like plumbers, electricians, and that would be very suitable for solving a problem that happens to come about now and then?
Okay.
So, yeah.
So is this a separate app that you use, or is it all through the Sweep South app?
Yeah. So at the moment it is, it's kind of, I think the analogy would be kind of like Uber to Uber Eats, that it's integrated. It is a separate app. And the reason we chose that for the time being was that the two platforms work quite differently. Mm-hmm. And from a UX perspective, we wanted to think about that problem over a longer period of time before committing to what does that look like within a single app.
Right.
So as a starting point, separate app, also native app, leveraging a technology that we've been building along the way, but separate for the time being. Yeah.
Okay. Now the professionals who offer their services through this app are vetted. What does that mean? Is Sweep South doing that vetting itself?
Correct. So the vetting includes things like identification, proving that you are who you say you are. Then the proof of your either certification or, basically your background in terms of skills and that kind of stuff. So, if you've had to study something particular for a particular, field,
right.
We would then look at those and verify your credentials, exact qualifications. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yeah, so it's a range of those kind of things. And then also looking at references and those kind of things. So to us, it's always been a tradition with Sweep South to delve into those details a bit deeper, because we believe it's not just a matter of, hey, I've discovered someone, but you want to make sure that who you've discovered has we've looked into that background in a bit more detail to understand their background in terms of skills, qualifications, etc., and those factors that are important. Okay. Yeah.
And do you then have a user rating system so that professionals will rise up the ranks and perhaps be surfaced earlier than, or higher up than others who get lower scores?
Yeah, exactly that. Mm-hmm. So that's what we call it, like ongoing vetting, right? Vetting is like a starting point, but the ongoing vetting is having the two sides to be able to communicate their experience with that person. Yeah. So from both sides. So a consumer to be able to say, hey, this provider has been fantastic on this part, but maybe this part they could improve on, which is good to know. And on the consumer side as well, you know, they were asked for a quote, but they might have not disclosed half of the information. You know, that could be very problematic for certain industries if you have to drive out. So that's good to know. So that way, you know, people are held accountable by the fact that they have to act truthfully as possible to disclose information, because that in the end is going to, you know, be information shared with other members in the marketplace. So yeah, I think that's important.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose there is a risk that criminals will see this as an opportunity to get into people's homes. Have you seen that at all on the platform through the cleaning app or through this new service? And how do you deal with that?
Yeah. So I think maybe the starting point is actually to say is that problem is obviously would exist. On no matter what you use. So, you know, that could be a search engine or online classifieds or whatever it is. But what we do additionally to that is exactly the vetting we mentioned. So we look at all of those kind of details before. And to quite a degree that even when we look at references, when we phone up references for providers, we actually look at what the general consensus is. And if we find the consensus is below what we believe is a good entry point to our marketplace, then we just don't even list that profile. So it's quite, you know, it's quite detailed in that sense. So by having those kind of factors, you know, we've already gone over and above what exists already. Mm-hmm. And then what we also do is, look at from a data anonymous data perspective, look at for anomalies and those kind of factors as well, and try to learn from what kind of patterns we're seeing. So if we see funny patterns that are actually communicating, that are being classified as some kind of a bad behavior, using these kind of machine learning principles that we're doing in-house, we can pick up on these before they actually lead to something bad as well along the way.
Wow.
So it's those two major, I think, parts that act, you know, go a long way, you know, to play out well. So Sweep South Connect is pretty new in comparison to our, core offering. So I can say we've had no incidences, but I think these two pieces I've just spoken about will go a long way over and above what's available out today.
Alan, just lastly, you've launched, I believe you've launched this as a free-to-use service for now. What charges will be introduced in time? I presume it's the service providers will get charged rather than the end user?
Right. So that's our initial thinking, is that we're watching the data very closely. We're also talking to the consumers and to providers all the time to understand these things. From a data perspective, also understanding the value, right? Mm-hmm. To us, it makes no sense to introduce any cost, to be honest with you, unless I can tell from a sort of statistical view that the distribution across the pros adds value across the distribution and not, you know, five people are doing amazingly well and the rest are like, okay.
Yeah.
So we're watching that very closely. And based on those, we are looking at what that value looks like. And our initial thinking is very much about inserting maybe the point at the pro side, to charge some kind of a lead fee. And that's a very hot lead fee because we can tell that this person has a very specific problem and this is what they need solved in the area that they operate, that the provider can actually manage those areas within their app. Yeah.
Very high chance it'll lead to a transaction.
Exactly. So that's exactly the thing. So we're watching that kind of a conversion rates very closely to understand that there's real value and not just, well, this thing seems to be working. Well, no, we're ourselves run a business, so we know what it means to get real value from, you know, from this kind of activity. So we want to make sure that is the case for the providers, and ensure that we put it at the exactly the right time. Yeah. But it's been phenomenal so far. You can see that growth and impact on the value grow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been very good to chat to you, Alan. Alan Rebich is co-founder of Sweep South. Thanks so much for talking to Tech Central.
Thanks for having me on your show. Thanks, Duncan.